Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Okay, everyone, shut up and look at me.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
The less I know about other people's affairs, the happier I am. I'm not interested in caring about people.
Isaac Rock.
I once worked with a guy for 3 years and never learned his name. Best friend I ever had. We still never talk sometimes.
Jason Sukanik.
I also think it's pointless for a human to paint scenes of nature when they could just go outside and stand in it.
Primetime on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
Please do not misinterpret the fact that I am talking right now as genuine interest. End of speech.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up?
Hi.
How we doing?
Ron Swanson puts me into a good mood. Every single time.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
It's a bold statement, but if I had to put together a list of the Jason Sukanik top five TV characters, because movie and TV, two different things. Top five TV characters.
Whoa.
Juan. Apparently, his Mexican cousin, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Number one?
Not only is he in my top five, he is clearly on the medal stand and is competing for gold. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm not ready to just jump in and say number one.
He's an all-time character.
But he is a top five for certain, and I'm almost guaranteed as I went through this that he would be on my medal stand and is a strong contender for the gold medal.
Boy, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Top five? You said just TV?
Well, yeah, because movies and TV are two different. Entirely different things. But if you're going TV characters, Swanson he's in rarefied air for me to the point where in my house one year, my late wife, she knew how much I loved Ron Swanson. And one of my favorite episodes is where Ron goes to Charles Mulligan's Steakhouse, the best damn steakhouse in the best damn state. And it gets closed down for health violations and Ron can't handle it. It's where give me all the bacon and eggs you have. Wait. What I think you heard was, bring me a lot of bacon and eggs. What I said was, bring me all the bacon and eggs you have. And the poster of that is framed in his office of the Charles Mulligan Steakhouse. My wife knew I loved Ron Swanson so much. She went out and found like a digital image of that, had it blown up professionally, and it's framed and matted still in my living room.
Uh-huh.
That's like Ron carries a special, and I love Nick Offerman. And it's just that he is just an absolute delight. And I'm trying to think of who else, you know, that would be in that, because there's so many good ones.
While you've been talking, I've been racking my brain.
I was kind of giving you some time because I could see your head spinning a little bit.
It has exploded.
The first one that jumped to mind for me, and I don't know that it even belongs there, but as far as iconic like character, I thought Ari Gold. Jeremy Piven and Entourage.
Yeah, that's good.
He's a great character.
Like, I don't think that's a great show.
I'm not a huge Entourage.
Well, yeah. I've got an easy one.
Yeah.
And he's probably number one, for me anyway. And that's Larry David.
Yeah, yeah. As Larry David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's really not a character.
It's Larry David Larry David.
But it's a character.
Yes.
I mean, dude, he's the best of all time.
Yeah. Larry is special. You know, Kramer for a lot of people on Seinfeld is going to be up there.
George for a lot of people on Seinfeld would be up
there. Yeah, Seinfeld is definitely going to be one. I think some people are going to go Homer Simpson. I think Al Bundy. Probably hits for a lot of different people.
Al was great, but I mean, you know, isn't that a little cliche? You know, the old...
Yeah, I could see that.
Curmudgeon-y sports guy, like...
Oh, but...
Kind of simple.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like a lot of men would have to... Like, they feel like they have to say Al Bundy.
Sure.
You don't.
No,
you don't have to say Al Bundy.
But Michael Scott...
Be better than that.
The Office is gonna...
Or Dwight Schrute.
Dwight. Yeah,
yeah, Dwight.
I would say Dwight more than...
Well, and then I always loved Sam Malone. I was a big Cheers guy growing up. And
there you go.
I mean, maybe you like...
what about Theo Huxtable?
What about Cliff Huxtable? Well,
yeah, Cliff.
Yeah. Before the 97 rapes...
He's off my list now.
Cliff Huxtable would be high on that list. Don Draper would be one. Ooh, Tony Soprano.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Frank Reynolds.
Yes.
You love you some Frank.
See, Frank is one of those guys. If there was someone.
And I'm more of a Charlie guy.
G or Charlie?
Yeah. Oh, me Charlie too. Or Mac?
Nah, it begins. Dude, Charlie, and ends. It begins and ends with Frank.
Charlie is the best guy on that show.
No.
And it's not close.
Well, Charlie is amazing, but Frank, there's just something about the Warthog. There's just too many classic Frank Reynolds moments. I didn't know if they wanted money or something more sexual. But either way, I started blasting. And it's a good thing I had both of my guns because I'm not sure that one would get it done. I love that.
So the fan text line is 503-864-6326. Rank the great Rons, Swanson, Burgundy, Sloy. Wow. What a great ranking. And this is no offense to Ron Sloy,
yeah,
but he's going to be third, even though we love him dearly.
Yeah. But he's in rarefied air.
He is rarefied
air. I mean, come on, just to be in that ranking is great.
Yeah. Some people are throwing out Kenny Powers.
Well, wait a minute.
What? Oh, you want me to do that?
All three of them have fantastic mustaches, I realize.
Swanson, one.
I'm going
Burgundy, two.
I'm going Burgundy, one.
You got, no. See,
Swanson, two.
Totally get it.
Sloy,
but,
three. But Ron Burgundy is one of my... Now, that's a movie character.
That's a movie character.
So I can't put him in our rankings. Yeah. But the way Will Ferrell played that character, it's just an all-timer for
me. Well, and the cool part about a character like that is it becomes part of the lexicon. Whether you really knew Anchorman or watched it or not, you know who Ron Burgundy is. It's the same thing with Ron Swanson. They become part of pop culture, and that's when you know that you really have a character that has
Here's one that has
struck a nerve.
What about Baby Billy?
Oh God,
of Baby Billy's Bubble Bunkers.
I was surprised you guys hadn't hit that yet.
Boy, that is.
It's just hard. There's a lot.
There's a lot to get through.
And he's kind of a bit character, but dude, Baby Billy. Baby Billy might be pound for pound because he's not in it. He's not the main guy. Baby Billy pound for pound is as good as anyone. I'm sorry. That arc of Teenjus, it's a stroke of gold. In fact, that's another one that I say on a daily basis to my daughter. Get a nerd. I got time for your worthless chime-ins. Go on. Get outside.
What about, this one's a little off the beaten path, but as you well know, I'm a huge Peaky Blinders guy.
You do like Peaky Blinders.
I thought that was a great show. Yeah. Tommy Shelby?
Yeah, Tommy's great.
Great character.
Absolutely. And again, it's not a comedy, but that's like Tony Soprano. He makes that whole show.
Have you heard the guy who plays Arthur Shelby has had problems with fans coming up to him and trying to shove cocaine in his pockets because of his habits on the show?
Really?
Yeah.
I could see it.
Well, Frank from Shameless is another one for me. That I just absolutely love. William H. Macy, it's his best role. And again, it's just...
Yeah, there's a lot of good characters on that show.
There is. I mean, and I, as you can tell, I tend to like anti-heroes. Like, I enjoy... I just enjoy the guy that lives on on the outskirts. They play in the margin, so to speak. Those are always, I think, the funnest characters for me to watch, whether that's being a crime, like you said, like Tommy Shelby or I don't know, Ray Donovan, if you liked that show, or I was a big Sons of Anarchy guy, Jax was a great character, or you go someone that's just absurd comedy, like a Ron Swanson or a Frank Reynolds.
Now we got to go to, Succession.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Some great characters in that.
Well, and I don't know about you, but
Tom Wamsgans?
Yeah, but there's only one.
Tom and Greg is a package deal.
Dude, that's a great pair.
But, I mean, again, there's one guy that oversees, it's Logan. His use of the F word, the aw F off, come on. Like, again, lots of nice bit players, but there's one man that was the tent pole of that show, and it was freaking incredible.
You notice no one has mentioned Ted Lasso yet?
No, that's
another
one.
One person on the text
line. I'm certain for some people that Lasso will forever be, because he was like a ball of positivity. You mentioned it the other day. That was the right show at the right time.
It's what people needed then.
They needed that. They absolutely needed that. Another one for me, I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but did you ever watch Vikings?
No. Never did.
The guy that played the main character, Ragnar Lothbrok, is freaking amazing. It is as good a character, and when he died... The show never, it was one of those, like when Michael Scott left. It was still a good show, but you could never duplicate when Ragnar left.
Ooh, going in the kind of medieval time era, what about Tyrion Lannister, Game of Thrones?
Phenomenal.
Great one.
Dude, again, made the whole show. Absolutely.
Tyrion, your favorite, you think that was the best character
in Game
of Thrones?
I don't know if it was the best character. I mean, I think that
I thought
Lena Headey. Yeah. What was her name?
Aria.
Well, Aria was the girl. She was great.
You talking about the?
I was talking about the incestuous.
The evil
Cersei. Mother. Cersei. Yeah, she was fantastic.
I didn't like her as much. I liked Aria as.
Yeah, Aria was.
She
great.
Was my favorite.
Yeah.
But it may just have been the actual. But
it was little. It was not Littlefinger. It was Tyrion's turn of phrase that was so catchy.
Yeah. Well, and again, he was a guy that ended up being, whether you thought he was the best or not, he was the tentpole. He was the guy that stirred that entire thing and was the common thread throughout the entire show. And then, I mean, you could go with the Mother of Dragons right until the end when they decided to ruin her character.
Yeah, before the heel turn.
Yeah, for no reason whatsoever. They just were like, oh, here, let's take a hard left.
Now, Deal on the text line says, now name your favorite female characters. We have not named one, have we, besides Arya?
Well, I guess we just talked about Game of Thrones. Yeah, maybe that does say something that they're, you know.
Well, we're sexist pigs.
We are sexist pigs.
What about the mom from, I forget her name, the mom from.
You son of a bitch. You're just going with the
point.
Just staying. Yeah, exactly.
Boy, can I say, honestly.
The mom from Arrested Development.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Lucille Bluth.
She was great.
Lucille Bluth.
How about Schitt's Creek mom? Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara.
She was great.
She's really good.
Can I say, though, like. This is, I'm being dead serious.
Ooh, got another one.
It bothers me that we went this long and didn't name a female character.
Well, that's your own fault.
Yeah, that is my own fault.
You big jerk. I still haven't named one.
And well, I don't think you guys have watched this show, but I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Selina Meyer on Veep is outstanding.
Yes, dude, Veep is amazing.
I've told you about this before. You guys probably didn't see the show, but I'm telling you, one of the best female performances on a TV show in a long time.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Is Jodie Comer. She played Villanelle on Killing Eve.
Yeah, she's really good.
Dude, she's tremendous. Yeah. Even with her facial expressions, she is so good. If you never watched that show, I mean, the show's okay. She is really good in that.
But there is an element, I think, with...
And kind of hot.
Well, and this is what women have been saying for years, is they don't get... They don't get the best roles, right? More often than not, the male ends up being the starring role. Although you can make the argument, like Parks and Rec, Ron Swanson is my favorite. You can make the argument that Leslie Knope is the star of that show. That Leslie Knope is the one that stirs that entire thing.
What about Julie Bowen, Modern Family?
Modern Family?
She's the mom on Modern Family. She's
absolutely
great.
Yeah. Problem is now that like when you...
Like the fifth best character on that show.
When you try to go
listen to you, pig.
I think Sofia Vergara is better than her on that show.
What?
Yes.
No way.
I was never a huge Modern Family guy. So I feel like I need to sit that one out. I think Phil was probably when I watched. Phil was probably my favorite, but I was never a...
Well, dumb feed's just... Again, you're going back to the goofy, dumb, I can't do anything right dad.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of cliche.
It's an easy... Well, I thought that whole show was kind of easy and cliche.
Well, it is.
And this is going to be another weird one, because I know you guys both don't watch, but he's been around... We talked about it yesterday. He's been around for like 27 years. And speaking of anti-heroes, he might be the worst character in the history of television, Eric Cartman.
I mean... Iconic. Yeah?
I can't even begin to tell you the things that Eric Cartman has done on that show.
Most of them you can't say on air.
No, you can't. They are the most horrific. He might be the worst character in the history of television, and yet he's brilliant.
Wow.
And it's been going on for almost 30 years.
I'm looking at a list. Some Digital Spy put out a list of the top female TV characters of the 21st century.
Yeah.
You know who's number one?
Lucille Ball, maybe?
No. Buffy Summers from
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The Vampire Slayer. Yeah.
People love that show.
And that's played by, what's her name?
Sarah Michelle
Gellar. Gellar, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Arya, by the way, from Game of Thrones is number three on this list.
Okay, who's
Arya
two?
Arya Stark. Two, they have How to Get Away with Murders, Annalise Keating.
How to Get Away with Murders.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that show.
I don't know that.
I don't know the character.
Was that, what was her name?
Annalise Keating.
Is that the actor or the actor?
I think that's the character name.
Is that Kerry Washington that plays that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't recognize her.
I think that might be it, but I'm not certain. Now, if we did movies...
Wait a minute. Hold on. I got one more TV one, and I have to throw this out there before we move on.
Yeah.
Because I cannot stand her.
Mm-hmm.
Number five on this list?
Yeah.
Samantha Jones, Sex and the City.
Nope.
Oh.
God, I hated how she played that character.
Yeah.
She was the one that was all sexed up, you know, like
yeah,
the,
that was Kim. I was trying to think Kim Cattrall.
Yes,
yeah,
Kim Cattrall's character.
She's better than Sarah Jessica Parker.
She was fifth on this list.
Those two are clearly the worst.
I mean, look, she did a great job on the show, but for me, I just thought she was really annoying. Really annoying.
See, I would find this way easier. If you did female movie leads, I think there's way more badass female movie leads.
Well, that's a whole other segment.
Than there are TV.
How are we going to get to that?
Probably not. I feel bad, though, that...
let's talk about sports.
That a female character didn't even pop into my head for best TV characters.
Well, you should feel bad. Be better.
Well, I wonder if you're a... If I asked a female that question, is she saying the same thing where male characters don't pop into her head because you relate more to, obviously... You're going to relate to a character that's of your same sex. Would a woman ask that same question? Would they give you four or five female names before they ever
Tell
came
what,
up with a male?
I am looking at who is out in the sales office right now, and I will go out there and conduct an informal poll during the break.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that. Am I just indeed a sexist bastard? Which open to that idea.
I mean, you definitely are.
Yeah.
It's just
in this case, is
how
this,
much?
Yeah, how much? Yeah. Sliding scale, if you will.
All right. We are here for you. It is Wednesday, I think.
It is.
Is that what they're saying?
You are correct, sir.
Dan Lanning, we asked this question yesterday, and it came true. He did make headlines at Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah.
We'll start there next on 105.1 The Fan. Okay, so we will get to Big Ten Media Day in a moment. But I went out there.
How sexist are we?
Well, I went out there. Okay, so there's some meetings going on around here.
Okay.
You know, commerce.
Things happening.
That's right. A
lot of moving parts. A lot of people are saying Odyssey has diarrhea.
There was only one female.
That's it, huh? Is our whole office sexist that we have one female?
Well,
God, we're the worst.
Luke was out there. Joe Fisher was out there. Johnny from sales was out there. Yeah. And then...
Dude, it's a sausage fest out there.
I forget her name.
look at you.
What's her name?
So I would like to point out that not only are we a bunch of sexist bastards,
what's her
we
name?
Have one female, and you don't even know what her name is.
What's her name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
We have Russian.
We have more than one female.
Svetlana? Is that her name?
The Belarusian swan.
What's her name? You don't know it either. What's her name, Buck? Oh, my God. I feel terrible.
I don't know, but I don't pretend
what?
To.
None of us know her name? Oh, that's terrible. We should know her name.
I don't think I've ever met her.
Wow. That's bad.
Let's go with Svetlana, though.
Svetlana.
It's not Svetlana.
It's not Svetlana.
It's something like that, though, isn't it?
You mean, by something like that, do you mean Russian?
Well, she's Russian. She has a Russian name.
She did put borscht in the fridge.
Do we have a directory or anything? God dang it. Anyway, I gave her the test.
Okay.
Now, Luke and everybody else was chiming in, but I didn't really care about them. But I couldn't lead on that I was looking for a female character. So I just did it the same way you did it.
Yeah.
You were asking, what are your top... So the first segment you asked, what are the top TV characters?
Yes.
Of the last, 25 years or whatever.
Sure, whatever.
And we went a while without naming a female before we caught on that we were sexist.
Yes. Someone pointed that out and we were like, ah, damn it.
So I went out and asked her, and do you care to guess what ended up happening? She mentioned, so it took her a while because, I had her on the spot, and, people get flustered.
Sure.
Particularly when it's us.
Yeah, like, ah.
They're worried that they're going to make the show and get made fun of or whatever.
Which is a valid point.
She named three people.
How many females?
She named. Exactly. On the list of three of her favorite TV characters. Zero.
Ah, see? I think we're off the hook.
So now we're happy.
Yeah, I'm fine.
That's right.
We're not a bunch of sexist bastards. We're everyone. How about this? TV is sexist.
Yep.
It's not us.
Not our fault.
It's not our problem. It's television and those horse crap writers.
You want to know who she named?
What do you got?
Don Draper.
Oh, there you go. That came up.
She likes Richie, who plays the cousin on The Bear.
The Bear, okay.
And then she liked...
That's a foolish choice, but all right.
She liked Roy Kent from Ted Lasso.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
But not a female to be named.
Not a female to be named. So once again, not our fault. To all the Beller listeners tuning in, we are not sexist. Blame the patriarchy.
Far from it.
Far from it.
Far from it.
Far from it.
All right. Well, I listened in on Dan Lanning today.
As did I.
I don't know if you did. Oh, you did.
I did.
Yeah, he was out there.
I was to hear what old Dan Lanning had to say.
Yeah, he, you know, he's, I don't know. He plays his cards very close to the vest.
Yeah, well, he's not giving you anything, really.
Hence, he plays his cards very close to the vest.
Yeah, he does speak in a lot of, he does play the underdog, we're mighty different card. He likes that one a lot.
I like his, the thing I do like about him is you can always suss out his Lanningisms. Like, mm-hmm. he always has a mantra.
Sure.
Or a way of sort of rallying everyone behind one theme. And I picked up two of them mm-hmm. from his press conference today. I don't know if you caught this. And we'll interview him here. I was just told by Dusty that he will be back on our show this fall to talk about sports and football.
Baseball and the Kansas City Chiefs and barbecue.
But it's like when you talk football with him, it's not, he doesn't give you anything. So then what you want to do is talk about like his front door at his house
yeah.
or his kids. Because mm-hmm. then he'll talk with you.
Yes.
But then he gets a little perturbed that we're not talking about football. But then you go back to football, and it's like, you're not really giving us anything.
It's a delicate dance.
He's a tough one.
Yeah.
He's a tough one to interview.
He brought up his kids today.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And he named them all. They're 15, 14, and 12 at this point.
He was talking about hiking with one.
And he said a lot of camps.
Yeah. Sports camps and different summer camps. You got to keep the kids busy, man.
That's right.
You got to get out there in the camps.
When you're 12, 14, and 15, you don't get bored. Or at least you shouldn't.
Oh, you kidding me?
There's a lot going
on. Dude, kids get bored nonstop.
Well, I'm saying you don't want them to. You want to keep
exactly.
them in activities.
Well, that and it gets them out of the house because no one wants the kids around.
Back
the house.
In my day, we used to go climb trees and ride bikes.
We just would leave the house and then you would just go out and like, I don't know, light something on fire. But you're not allowed to do that anymore. It has to be supervised fun. You have to have structure, balance, if you will.
Anyway, one of them was, he says they're doubling down on last season.
Yeah, he said fitting that they're in Las Vegas because they're kind of their thing this season is doubling down.
That's his big thing with the team is that we're doubling down on what we did last year.
I don't really know what that means, but okay. Let's stick with that mantra.
It means, well.
So what you did last year worked, so let's do it again.
Harder.
Double.
I see.
We're throwing another bet out there.
The right way, the wrong way, and the landing way. It's the wrong way, football. But faster.
Football's football, and the only way to get better at it is to play football.
If you thought 100% was good, watch when we give you 200%.
And the other one that I picked up on, which I loved,
yeah,
and he always has these. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he gets them. He always has these. He was talking about Dante Moore. He was asked about Dante Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Dante doesn't want to be in a microwave society.
Oh.
He wants to sit down and have a slow-cooked meal.
Interesting. I like that. That's pretty good.
I thought that was great.
He did speak very highly of Dante. The one that I heard him, he was on an interview with Jeff Schwartz. And he was talking about, someone asked him about Dante Moore, which, by the way, there's still a quarterback competition.
That's a good point. He did not. Dante Moore is the big talk.
Yes.
He has not named Dante Moore the starter.
No,
and he probably won't.
Well, he probably won't because, you know, you got to keep the other quarterbacks in the full.
Well, he loves to do the week of the game, this guy or that guy depth chart. He's the king of it.
I guess the question is Dante Moore the starter and he's just doing that whole coach bit? Or is this really a pretty tight competition?
So, Austin Novosad is the other guy. And while no one has come out and said it, talking to people that are way more connected to that program than I am, it does feel like there is, at least amongst the players, because that's most of the stuff that you hear. The players and then through a couple assistant coaches that I know people that are fairly close, I'll just say there's a lot more praise coming for Dante Moore than there is anyone else. Doesn't mean that that's the guy. And I think coming into camp, I think Dante Moore has a leg up. But I do think this is a competition. I don't think it's been handed to anyone. But my guess is that when we start camp, the first team reps will be taken by Dante Moore. So I think it's more of his job to lose. Or maybe Novosad comes in and you know, lights the world on fire in camp.
Well, who's the other guy?
Luke Moga.
Luke Moga.
Yeah, and that doesn't, you know.
And then you've got Akili Jr. who should redshirt.
Yeah. So
they got four guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they have a walk-on, too.
Yeah, that would
five guys.
That wouldn't surprise me, but it sure feels like it's between Dante and Austin.
Well, and the other thing that we heard there, and he's done this many times with us. When you ask him about a specific player, he turns it back and does the entire position group.
Yeah, he won't. Like, in fact, he gets. I've asked him a couple times, like, "Hey, can you give me a guy or two?" Because every camp and every spring, every team has one or two guys that you look at and you're like, and even if they weren't anything the year before, I remember it. Every year that I played in spring ball and went into fall camp, there was always a guy where you're like, who the hell? Like, and they're like, what? Yeah, that kid was a tight end last year and he moves to DN and he's unblockable. Or you have a tackle that couldn't do jack crap and all of a sudden he's pancaking everybody. And I asked him, I was like, hey, give me a standout or two, and he refuses to do it.
No, he'll talk about the collective team, a side of the ball, or even if you ask about a pass rusher, he'll talk about the whole D-line. If you ask about a receiver, he'll talk about all the skill position players. It's just what he does.
Yeah, he is not going to really give you anything. He doesn't like singling out players. So,
but he does love kitchen references.
He does love kitchen references.
Deal points it out, he's right. He does. Like a lot of it.
He had two today. The slow-cooked meal. And then he had we hope we bring all our ingredients back to the kitchen. Yeah. We can make a good meal out of it. Yeah, that was a separate
answer. I wonder if that dude spends a lot of time in the kitchen more than we know. Because he had, last year he had cooking on your grill.
Yeah, he is cooking.
He worked at an Outback, remember?
I don't think he cooks.
I think he worked at an Outback when he's a teenager.
He's not cooking.
But he loves kitchen references. So yeah, but that means food's on his mind. Or the kitchen is on his mind.
That is true. But I still, like, we can ask him. How many meals a month he cooks?
It's going in the notes.
I'm guessing it's point. The over-under is one. One and a half.
I bet you she every once in a while is like, could you just fire up the grill tonight?
Mm, you know? I think that's a takeout.
We've seen him cook steaks on Instagram in the pan.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Stove.
Yeah.
Off-season may be different. In-season? No. He's not cooking. He's not cooking on anyone's grill. He's not cooking on his own grill come season. I think Dan Lanning is a burn the candle at both ends sort of fella.
Well, he even says as much.
Yeah.
He said that today. He's like, look, you don't get a lot of balance. It's like you're all in. This job kind of sucks in that way.
Yeah.
But he said the last 2 weeks I've spent with my family.
Yeah.
So they got 2 weeks out of 54.
Yeah. Well, if you recall, I think he's told us that he'll try to come home from the office and then like spend an hour with the family and then like shut himself away for another six.
What an animal.
My offensive line coach, who I've referenced on this team or on the show many times as the worst person I've ever met, his family lived in Minnesota. He didn't even live with them. He just lived in Utah.
Send money.
Yeah. And then like once in a blue moon, he would go home and he would get a haircut and a dye job by his wife. And then he'd come
when you die.
And then he'd come back. Like he lived in the basement of like his pastor. And by the way, he was at BYU for like 39 years. And he still didn't live with his family. I think in some cases, I think it's just easier that way.
What an opportunity.
You think Jim Harbaugh's fun to be around during the football season for his wife?
I think Jim Harbaugh's never fun to be around.
Well, remember that? Remember they did the Harbaugh documentary? And even his wife was like, yeah, he's a lot. Because Jim said that. He's like, I spent a lot of time by myself. And that was like the lot of milk. And he's like, I can wear people down. And his own brother and the wife were like, yes, kind of tough. I think during the season, it's probably best for everybody if you just, you know, I'm not going to be home for dinner tonight. I'm not going to be doing any cooking. I don't think that's the priority while you're getting ready for Ohio State.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm putting it in the notes, okay? Because I'll forget.
Yeah.
So I've already got a Dan Lanning tab here, and I'm putting in there, what's the deal with all the kitchen references, bro?
Oh.
I'm going to ask.
Interesting. You're gonna go inside his kitchen.
Well, see, those are the kind of questions that get him going.
Yeah.
It ain't about who's going to start at linebacker, okay? Because he ain't telling us that.
No, he is not. He will not.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
Sometimes. By the way, someone said, add to the tally. Add one more to the tally. My wife got in the car yesterday and turned on Bella and said, what the hell?
Who was on?
What the hella?
That was us.
What the hella?
Who are these
fellas? Where is my Bella?
Yep. Heard the yesterday morning and heard the fan dropped a what the hell and changed the station. Dave and Hawkinson.
Didn't even give us a chance.
Oh.
Mrs. Dave.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed. That's a little sexist, don't you think?
I know. What is with all the sexism today? I don't appreciate it. By the way, Paulina.
That was her. Oh, that's her name. That's
not
her.
Yeah. Svetlana.
Right. Paul, it's close.
You are close.
Am I right?
Svetlana, Natasha. There's like four Russian names.
Paulina. I should
Olga.
Know that.
Yeah. She is Russian, though. I went in the kitchen once, and I opened it up, and there was a sticky note on a big weird piece of meat that just said, "Don't eat making borscht." And my first thought was, no one's eating your weird mystery meat. And thank you for letting us all know that you're eating borscht. And I was like, I immediately went to her. I was like, "Yeah, you're making borscht, huh?" She's like, "How did you know?" I'm like, "Just a guess." Right? Sorry, but if you had some weird Scotsman here and there was a strange piece of mystery meat that was like making haggis later. Sorry, Paulina. Pretty sure we know that's you. She was like, "Yeah, it was a little detailed note."
All right.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
We will continue next. Dan Lanning did make headlines with something that he said. We'll tell you what that was. And he also mentioned something during his press conference. I went and did a little, math, which is never good.
Boy, Kansas math?
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, I'm not good at math.
Well, that's a rough. That's
we are
a rough
not math
go.
Guys.
None of us are math guys. But
no.
Not only are we not math guys, we didn't know Paulina's name. But I tell you what, when we come back, we've got some numbers that are kind of interesting. I think
I like interesting numbers
regarding something Dan Lanning said. So we will get to that when we return. But first, here's Buck with SportsCenter on 105.1 The Fan.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
So we're kind of juggling two things here. One is our sexism when it comes to characters in TV shows.
Yeah.
Not ours, Hollywood's.
Thank you. Important.
Right. We have been let off the hook by ourselves.
Yes.
The other is Dan Lanning, which I'll get back to in a moment. But I went back out there and I talked to Paulina, who did not hear that we didn't know her name. So let's just gloss right over that.
Hey, one of us knew her name.
You didn't.
I did.
No, you did not.
How did I come up with her name?
You were told her name, you
by
idiot.
Who?
I don't know. Somebody texted you or something, but you came up with it. But in the moment, none of the three of us named her.
I knew her name.
At least I had Svetlana, which was close.
Took
you
me
called her Jane.
It took me a minute, but I knew it.
No, you didn't. You looked at our, you know what you did? You looked at our Odyssey, our...
We don't have a...
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so she said, go look at something called the Bechdel test. Have you ever heard of the Bechdel test?
Bechdel test.
Yeah, it's spelled B-E-C-H-D-E-L. And she, Bechdel, was she was a cartoonist, a lesbian cartoonist. And she would write about a group of women who would talk about just, you know, female representation in movies and you know, just
sure,
you know, make fun of basically men like us.
Yeah.
And it has become a thing for movies mainly, but I'm sure you could do it with TV shows too, to go to, if you go to bechdeltest.com, you can put in a movie and see if it passes. And basically it was one of her strips back in the 80s, one of her cartoons had two females who said they were trying to choose what movie they were going to go to, and they had three criteria for what movie they were going to go to. One was there had to be at least two female characters.
Sure.
Two, they had to actually talk to each other in the movie. And three, they had to talk to each other about something other than a man. So if a movie passes the Bechdel test, all three of those things apply. And back in the 80s, you would be shocked at how many movies did not pass.
Oh, I bet. I'm looking here at a list that failed, and it's kind of alarming because some of these would be considered...
Exactly.
You know,
classics?
Like, well, classic. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is an amazing movie, and the main character is the girl with the dragon tattoo.
and it failed the Bechdel test.
Elizabeth, I'm trying to remember what her last name is, the main character, but I read the book too. It's really good. It's a series of movies. It's like the girl with the dragon tattoo, the girl who kicks the hornet's nest.
Elizabeth Paulina.
I read those books too.
It's really good. But they're saying that failed the test because I think she's the only female character. And when she is talking to the main character, it's probably about a guy.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings failed it. Lara Croft.
Of the Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings. Failed it. Blade Runner failed it. Gravity failed it.
Yeah.
A Star is Born failed it. Lady Gaga failed.
Wow. By the way, that was Rooney Mara, who was in those Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movies.
She was in the American version. There's a Swedish version that came out, too. But they're both really good. It
anyway,
depends if you like subtitles or not.
The Bechdel test is a good, it's a good deep dive if you have a couple drinks and you're looking to go, you know, get on YouTube or, you know, go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking here, and that's it's rough stuff.
If we're much better now, yes. But this started back in the 80s.
If you're a female in Hollywood, I think it's probably been a long time coming. Problem is now is that when you put females in movies, then guys get pissed because they're like, you're just shoving women down our throats, and you're making every character female. And their response would be, well, every character for the last 100 years has been male, so maybe we're trying to balance it out a little bit.
All right, now I have some numbers, but it's not going to be until next.
Damn
because
it.
We got to stay on track here. So Dan Lanning mentioned in his press conference today continuity with staff.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it interesting to note that it doesn't feel like Oregon has much continuity with its staff, right? It doesn't feel that way.
Well, back in the day, they did. And so compared
I'm saying
to that,
right now.
Yeah, right now, it does feel like there's been some turn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, some interesting numbers on that.
Okay.
And as it compares to the rest of college football. Coming up next on 10. We're not 1080.
Well, we are.
We
still are.
We're both.
Are you amazed at how many people...
We're two things at once.
There are a lot of people I'm hearing from that can't really wrap their heads around the fact...
A simulcast?
Well, yeah. They're like... They feel like things have changed and they can't find us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't leave.
Yeah. Well, that's what I... Have you guys run into this at all? With people?
No, I haven't.
Not really.
I have a couple times.
Really?
And they're like, well, where do I go? I'm like, nothing's changed. We're on 105.1 now.
Yeah. And 1080.
A lot of peeps out there. A
lot of people saying, yeah, if you like listening to us on the AM dial, you can
keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
And the Odyssey app and everything?
Yeah, you don't have to change anything. It's just that if
people don't like change, man.
Well, but this isn't change. It's just more options.
Yeah, but it scared people.
It's like if you've been serving someone Salisbury steak and cream corn every day, and now we're going like with a new Hungry Man where we're giving you some fried chicken, guess what? You can still have the Salisbury steak.
But
it's
also,
right there.
Could I
you
also?
Just, you just got some chicken as well.
May I also?
There's more on the table.
Yeah.
May I also?
No.
Tell this man who keeps texting the word naked to stop, or else you're being blocked, sir.
Why is he texting naked?
Know. It's driving me crazy.
Well, because we ran a promo in the happy hour that is a text to win for the premiere of the new Naked Gun movie.
Oh,
and someone
sense.
Really wants those tickets because that person has texted us
well,
about 80
so,
times.
So knock it off. You're about to get
Make
blocked.
Sure they don't win.
Yeah.
I don't have that power.
All right. More on our leader, Dan Lanning, coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Wow! Someone suggested this, that I look this up, and I did.
Did you? You did.
So,
fantastic.
The Lord of the Rings is over 12 hours, the series of movies. It's
yeah.
12 plus
how many,
hours.
How many movies are there?
There's three of them.
Okay.
It's three movies.
I liked those.
Yeah.
Thought they were good.
Oh, it's amazing. Lord of the Rings is fantastic. Would you care to guess
for
how many times a female character speaks to another female character? Even
well,
a line.
I'm sticking with my inclination. Four.
Guess again.
Two.
Guess again.
Zero.
Zero.
Never happens?
Not one time in 12 hours of screen time does a female character speak to another female character in Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Is that like a don't speak until spoken to situation or
yeah, what is that? Well, I'm trying to think of the main it's been so long.
That's
My, who are the main female characters in
that's
that?
That's mind-blowing.
Well, there's like the Liv Tyler elvish character. Yeah. That's the one I think of.
But, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any others?
Yeah, there's Arwen, and then there's, is it Galadriel? And sure. There's another one of the elf ones that I forget. But yeah, they don't speak a word to each other. You know, there's a handful of times where they're in the same scene, but they do not speak to each other. So not only does that fail that test you were talking about, it fails it miserably.
The Bechdel test.
The Bechdel test.
So are we now supposed to judge it negatively because of that?
Hey, I'm not judging anything. Lord of the Rings is great.
Somewhere Oprah's pissed.
Probably. Go watch Kill Bill. Kill
YouTube
Bill's
says
fantastic.
That we should blame the author of the books, J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, blame him. And Peter Jackson, that bitch.
So Dan Lanning mentioned continuity with his staff today.
Yes.
At the press conference out there in Las Vegas today, where the Ducks were hanging out for Big Ten Media Day today.
Is this what led you to do math?
Yeah, well, I didn't really even do math. I found a story that I thought had some good numbers in it.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding continuity, because continuity is not a thing in college football anymore.
No, not really.
Because just as much as players bounce around, transfer portal and everything, so do coaches.
Yeah.
More so. And, you know, like, if an offensive coordinator has a good year, he's getting a head coaching job.
See Kenny Dillingham.
So,
And Will Stein, by the way. I think Oregon, the last, because this is year four under Dan Lanning, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they have led... it's either the Power Four, or they may have just led all of Division One football in scoring every year since he's been there. And if Will Stein does that again, guess what? Will Stein's going to be head coach somewhere.
So the point is, and I think Football Scoop had this, where the four most important positions are the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and nowadays, the head strength coach.
Yeah. Or you can make the argument, too, now, whether that's the GM or chief of staff, whatever you want to call that guy.
Well, they went with head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and head strength coach.
Sure.
And they looked at every school in FBS. There are now 136 schools in FBS.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and looked at those four positions, those being the four key positions. They call it the core four.
Yeah.
What percentage of college football schools... return their core four?
Gosh, half, 50%.
40%.
40%.
So 56 of 136 return their core four. Of those 56, 38 are entering just their second season with the core four in place.
Yeah.
That only leaves 18 schools, or 13% of the core four of staffs in FBS that have been together for more than 2 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
13%.
Yeah.
Now, the Ducks, as Dan Lanning mentioned today, they are entering their third season with the core four in place.
Yeah, so Stein, LePoy, him, and then...
Wilson, yeah, Wilson Love.
Wilson Love.
So the Ducks... they are one of... And that is Wilson Love.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
He's insane. Yeah. The Ducks are one of 12 schools... that are in a third season together with their core four. Mm-hmm. Only 12.
Okay.
Georgia, Tennessee, BYU, a couple of others in there. Schools where the core four are on their fourth season together, there are only three.
Yes, that's rarefied air.
Virginia.
Which, whatever.
Air Force.
Whatever.
And SMU.
All right, SMU, that one's intriguing.
That is interesting.
Yeah, because SMU was a playoff team last year.
There is one school... their core four is on their fifth season, and this one's a bit of a shocker.
It's not a service academy?
Nope.
Because I would think that at places like that, like BYU, we always had some stability because, you know, in order to have those positions, most of the time you have to be LDS, and there's not a lot of turnover there. I would think it's a niche place like that. Stanford, BYU, service academy, maybe, you know, a hard school, an academic school.
It is Texas.
Texas, huh?
Yes.
Maybe they're just paying better than everybody.
Sark, his OC, his DC, and his head strength coach have all been together. This will be their fifth season. And there's only one school in all of FBS that has their core four for their sixth season or more.
Hmm.
And three of these guys, three of the four, have been together for 10 years, which is, I mean, that's unheard of in college football.
What do we got?
It's very random. I'm speaking of Toledo.
Toledo.
Yeah, they just, Jason Candle, I think is his name, the head coach. They've been together a long time.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's it.
That's crazy.
That is it. So the Ducks, believe it or not, the Ducks seem to have had a lot of turnover the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, right? Mm-hmm. Dan Lanning's moving into his fourth season now.
Sure.
You know, you lost Kenny Dillingham. The Ducks are actually in the top, basically the top 6% of continuity with staff in college football.
You're living in a world now with the transfer portal and kids and unlimited transfers and now coaches that continuity is just, it's just not what it once was. I remember when, you know, the big deal was like Saban was kind of the pioneer of this, that he just turned over. He had such massive turnover because it used to be a death sentence. Remember, Clemson was rolling, and then they lost their defensive coordinator. They lost Chad Morris, who was their offensive coordinator. It was like they had that staff together with Morris and Venables, and they went on that run. And then when it left, it was some people thought that Dabo got exposed a little bit, right? That it really wasn't maybe a Dabo thing. It was the staff he'd built around him. Oklahoma had this when some guys started leaving Bob Stoops and it never was quite the same again. But Saban was the guy that kind of turned that on his ear because, I mean, Kirby stayed there for a long time, but Nick was the de facto defensive coordinator. But I think he won national championships with like 5 different OCs. Like, it didn't matter. He just would cycle through guys. And we talked about how truly unique and special that was, but it does feel like, and those numbers bear it out, that this is just becoming the reality of college football. You have to stay mobile. You're not going to be able to have a staff together year after year. I mean, think about this. Ohio State finally won a national title under Ryan Day, and the very next year they lost their defensive coordinator to one of their, what, maybe second, third biggest rival in Penn State. I mean, that's just, isn't that insane? And by the way, not for a better job, not for a promotion, same job, the Ohio State defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, left to go to Penn State. Same job, lateral move from Ohio State to Penn State. That's just college football.
All right, Dan Lanning indeed made headlines out there in Vegas, and we'll tell you what he said to do that next on 105.1 The Fan.